Simon & Schuster Audio presents Disconnected by Jennifer Weiner. Read by Jess Weixler.
Get a new phone number, they had told her, along with go to a meeting your first day out. And do 90 and 90. And find a sponsor. And find a home group. And the only thing you have to change is everything. Feeling as fragile and skinless as a peeled egg, Shannon vowed that this time she'd follow directions. She was almost 30 years old, hardly a kid anymore. And she'd been in and out of rehab 6 times already. Not that anyone was counting. It was getting old. Besides, this last time she'd almost died. They'd Narcanned her in the hospital. She'd come swimming back to consciousness, surging up and out of the darkness with tubes up her nose, a needle buried in the crook of her elbow, and a terrified nurse leaning over her saying, "God, we almost lost you." "I'm done," Shannon had decided, lying on the narrow gurney in the ER while a homeless man vomited in the corner and 2 cops stood guard over a bloodied woman handcuffed to her bed. "I am really and truly done." By then, she had lost her dignity, her money, her job as an editorial assistant at Paragon Press. For the past 3 years, she had supported herself writing blog posts for a site called Busted that had started its life as an aggregator of celebrity mugshots. Now, Shannon, who'd studied with Jane Smiley in graduate school, who'd once received a semi-encouraging rejection letter from The New Yorker, "This isn't quite right for us, but please try again," spent her days scanning electronic police department databases for the faces of the famous, the formerly famous, the almost famous, and the reality TV famous, as well as scribbling snarky comments across the thighs and torsos of actors and singers who gained weight and then had the temerity to appear in public in spite of it. 10 posts a day netted her $500 a week. She'd given up her apartment, the few pieces of non-IKEA furniture that she'd acquired. Busted did not offer its employees health insurance, which meant that the hospital was eager to see her backside. After they'd moved her to a room, another nurse had come in with a rape kit. She and Shannon had had a quiet conversation, and then the nurse had left with the kit, still sealed in plastic, in her hands. What had happened to her wasn't rape, Shannon had decided. It can't be rape if they pay you when it's over. From the hospital, she'd gone back into an overwarm October night and thence to rehab. A low-end one. A place where they sent people on welfare who had no money to go anyplace better. After 28 days, she'd taken the Chinatown bus to Manhattan, then the subway to Brooklyn. There was a 10:30 meeting in the basement of St. Patrick's in Bay Ridge. She went there because she knew there was a T-Mobile store just down the street. And also that the meeting, which she'd found when she'd gone to meetings the year before, often had donuts or cookies. Important if you had little money and no food. When she was sober, Shannon found that she was hungry all the time. Craving processed flour and white sugar, big mouthfuls of cheap, sweet stuff, food that could fill you and hold you in place like an anchor. She arrived while the 2 dozen attendees were mumbling through the preamble, and dumped powdered creamer and sugar into a cup of coffee until she'd created what looked like a latte. There were cinnamon-dusted donuts, and she stuffed 2 into her pockets and devoured a 3rd before taking a seat in a folding chair toward the back of the room. It was a speaker meeting. The woman behind the podium, a trembling 60-something with short brown hair and orthopedic sneakers, with white laces tied in neat bows,